Let's all stand and sing. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our eyes.
Kay and I have visited over the years in a lot of different churches, and something that we discover a whole lot about Baptist churches is that not all of them are friendly. But that's not the case here, but you got to work at that. And so let me encourage you. We're going to stand up here in just a moment, and make sure that you get a hand shaken. Pick one of those, all right? But the way to do that is you be the one that initiates that. And we've got visitors with us. And so if you see someone, I started to say, with a strange face, well, that's probably not the right terminology. If you see someone that you're not sure who they are, then you take the initiative to shake their hand and to welcome them to First Baptist. All right, you ready to do that? All right, let's stand and get that done, okay?
At the foot of the cross. Yes, you've won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty. And wear forgiveness like a crown. Come in to kiss the feet of mercy.
Sabrina, thank you. What a beautiful message. And praise team, thank you all, an instrumentalist. And Nancy, you just did a wonderful job. And choir, you about wore me out. Wasn't that a great medley? They just did marvelous with that. So thank you all for helping us with our worship today. Turn, if you will, please, to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. And turn to the 107th Psalm. A message entitled, Let the Redeemed. There was a pastor that was working real late one night at the office, and he needed to go into the auditorium for something. And when he came into the auditorium, he discovered a man in the auditorium that was snooping around like a burglar, and so the pastor slipped back out of the auditorium, a little afraid at this situation, and got on the phone and called the police, and the county sheriff showed up, and sure enough, this man that they caught in the auditorium, the sheriff recognized was the same man that they had been looking for over a month, having stolen $1 million from a local bank. Now, the burglar was a foreigner and spoke no English. Now, it just so happened that the pastor was adept at the language of this burglar. And so the sheriff said to the pastor, "I need you to communicate with him, and I need you to tell him that we've caught him, and we know that he was the one that robbed the bank of $1 million, and find out where that money is." And then the sheriff pulls his revolver, and he says, "And you tell him that if he doesn't talk and come clean, I'm going to kill him." Well, man, the pastor immediately began to communicate with this guy and told him, "Look, we know you're a thief. We know you're a burglar. We know that you're the one that robbed the bank. We know that you're the one that stole the $1 million from the bank. And if you don't come clean and tell the sheriff where it is, he's going to kill you." Well, man, that thief, he started shaking in his boots, and he started pleading with the pastor, "Don't let him kill me. Don't let him kill me. I'll tell you everything." And so the pastor said, "All right, we'll start talking." And the guy said, "Listen, I did rob the bank. I did, and that's why I'm here. Because, but please don't let him kill me." But he says, "The money is behind the pipes of the pipe organ." And the pastor said to himself, $1 million. Right here in my church. $1 million here in the auditorium, right here behind the... Do you know what I could do with $1 million? Church doesn't pay me very much. $1 million. And once again, the thief pleaded with the pastor, said, "I've told you everything. I've told you where it is. I can actually show it to you. It is there. Don't let him kill me." And the sheriff said, "What's he saying? What's he saying?" And the pastor turned to the sheriff, and he said, "This dirty, rotten scoundrel said that he would rather die than to tell you where that money is." You know, sometimes it's really good for us to speak up for ourselves. Now, this is an exciting chapter in the Bible. Let me encourage you sometime today or this week, read the whole chapter. And it's a great chapter. A great chapter. Let the redeemed. This psalm focuses up on the redemption of the nation of Israel from captivity in Babylon. Now, in this psalm, as you read it, you'll see words like adversity, trouble, distress, misery, labor, affliction, destruction, oppression, sorrow. As they rehearse all that the nation had been through in captivity. But interwoven throughout this psalm of adversity and psalm of distress, the psalmist encourages the reader. The psalmist encourages God's people. The psalmist encourages us with two specific exhortations, to be honest with you, in the very first three verses, which is what we're focusing upon this morning. He gives us two exhortations that we need to rehearse as we weave this throughout the psalm, and as we apply it to our lives on a day-by-day basis. All right, let's look at these three verses, verses 1, 2, and 3, and we're going to see these two exhortations. And here's the first one, just starting right off in verse 1. We're in Psalm 107, where the psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Say that with me. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Now let's keep on reading. "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Now here, verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." All right, say that with me. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south." All right, take your listening sheet, get a pen or pencil, and let me give these two things to you. And they're simply built on these exhortations. So, number one, we see an attitude of praise. An attitude of praise. Now look, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." You know, too many times we just don't do that, do we? Most times when we go to God with our shopping list. We say to God, "I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this, and I'd like this, I'd like this, and I'd like this, and if you could deliver it by 5 o'clock this afternoon in my house, I'd sure appreciate it." And that's just sort of the basis of our operation with God, unfortunately, many times. And I think we fail to give thanks. I think we fail to have what I refer to as an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. Now, go on down. We didn't look at verse 8, but let's look at verse 8 just for a moment. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Now here's an interesting thing. As you read this entire psalm, you will see that repeated three more times. That verse right there in its entirety is identified four times in this brief psalm. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." Now, you're going to have an opportunity later in this service to do that. So let me just give you a preview of coming attractions. I want to encourage you to participate with this today as we do what God exhorts us to do in this psalm. And so the first thing is that we need to have this attitude of gratitude, and we need to express that as an attitude of praise. And that attitude of praise is going to show up from our hearts as we just reflect upon who God is and upon what God is and upon His attributes and upon His character. And it ought to cause us as His people, as His children, just to have an attitude of praise, an expression of gratefulness, an attitude of gratitude within our hearts that we would express to the Lord. Now, why don't you flip over on the back of your listening sheet, and let me give you 10 things real quickly that you can just write down. I don't have them on our PowerPoint today, but let me give you 10 results of praise. 10 results of praise. And that's where the psalmist is coming from, that the redeemed of the Lord need to have this attitude of praise. Now, let me just rattle these off to you, and you can jot them down, because here are 10 results of praise. Number one, praise exalts God. Exalts God. Now, that's unlike the way most of us like to operate. We like to exalt ourselves. We like to be number one. We like to be in the limelight. We like to be in the spotlight. We like for attention to be on us. But when you praise, when you enter into a spirit of praise, you're taking all the emphasis off yourself. And you're putting it where it needs to be. You're putting it on the only one who is worthy of our worship, and that is God Himself. And when we enter into that spirit of praise and that attitude of praise, then that's the first thing that happens. It exalts God. Here's the second thing. It exclaims honor. It exclaims honor. Who are we giving honor to? We're giving honor to God. Giving honor to our Savior. We're giving honor to our Lord and Master. It exclaims honor. And as I mentioned just moments ago, there's only one person that deserves that honor in our life. There's only one person that deserves our worship. And that is none other than God Himself. That is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we enter into that attitude of praise, then that's what it does. It exclaims honor. Here's the third thing. It expresses gratefulness. Praise expresses gratefulness. And so out of our heart, as we understand who God is, as we reflect on what God's done, as we realize our relationship that we have with Him, then we are able then to express gratefulness. We're able to say thank you. We're able to have that attitude of gratitude. We're able to count our blessings, name them one by one. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate that. He knows how to say amen, you know. All right. Number next. What are we ready for? Four. It excites our spirit. Praise excites our spirit. Now think about that. When you get engaged in praise to the Lord, you can't really do that and not be excited. Nancy, I really got to apologize to you. I sat there a while ago and I'm thinking, wonder how come I'm not standing. Well, I should have been. Because, wow, choir, that was great. That medley was an exciting medley. Now, when you enter into a variety of ways, we need to learn to praise God with our lips. We need to learn to praise God just with our heart, and we need to learn to praise God openly and publicly and to be unashamed of our relationship with God. We need to learn to praise God through singing. We need to learn to praise God through instrumentation. And how I admire those that have the abilities to use instrumentation in praising God. And the Psalms are filled with exhortations that we would praise God with a variety of instruments. We need to learn to praise God by standing in the sanctuary. We need to learn to praise God by lifting our hands to God. Baptists are pretty shy about that, you know. I love to hang out with my Assembly of God friends, and I tell them that we're coming. We're coming. I tell them I've a lot of time at First Baptist Branson, man, I had them where they were one-handed. And some of the real radicals. But you know, the Bible tells us to do that. The Bible says, because thy loving kindness is greater than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. It would be a good thing for us to do right now. Why don't we do this? Let's lift our hands. Come on. And now let's all say it together. Our God reigns. Say that. Our God. Yeah. We just need to learn how to express that gratitude to the Lord. Would someone go check to see if I left my windows down? I didn't. Left my top open, but I didn't leave my windows down. What number am I ready for? 5. Here we are. It exalts God. It exclaims honor. It expresses gratefulness. It excites our spirit. And then 5, it executes the power of God on our behalf. It executes the power of God on our behalf. Praise executes the power of God on our behalf. And why is that? Because the Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. And so I'm telling you, when you've got God showing up, then it executes the power of God on our behalf. We need to learn how to praise him and to be unashamed about praising him. All right, here's 6. It exchanges problems for provision. It exchanges problems for provision. And the song that Sabrina sang just moments ago, if you were listening to the lyrics of that, It said this very same thing. So it exchanges problems for provision. You ever have problems you're dealing with? Sure. Have you ever found yourself dealing with problems, and one of the last things you want to do when you're dealing with problems in your life is to get excited about praise? And one of the things you ought to do when you're dealing with problems in your life is to express praise to God. It's just one of those paradoxes of Scripture, my friend, that when you're dealing with problems, you need to have the sacrifice of praise. And it is a sacrifice because you don't feel like it. You don't feel like praising. After all, we're dealing with problems. But when you learn to open up and give praise to God, it exchanges problems for provision. Here's number seven. When you praise, it excludes the negative influences. It excludes the negative influences. And there are a lot of negative influences in our life, my friend. But when you open up and give praise to God, it excludes those negative influences. And you start focusing on the positive. You start focusing on the good. You start focusing on the God that's alive working in your life. And it excludes those negative influences. I'll tell you what, and I've met lots of folks like this. When you say to them, well, how are you doing? Well, they get out their list of negatives and they explain to you exactly how they're doing. Don't you just really love being around those kind of folk? Now, don't look around to see if any of them are here. I can assure you some of them are. But I want you to know that when we learn to praise God and to live in that attitude of gratitude, and when we follow the exhortation that the psalmist gives us here, then it excludes the negative influences of our life. Here's number eight. It exercises faith. It exercises faith. When you praise God, you are exercising your faith. And God honors that, my friend. God responds to faith. And your faith is based upon none other than the Word of God. And so, in fact, when God is at work in your life and when you acknowledge that through praise, then that is a wonderful expression of exercising faith. All right, here's number nine. It expects God's presence. It expects God's presence. So when you learn to praise God, then you are declaring the fact that God is right here. God is right here in my midst. God is right here in my presence. God is at work in my life this very moment, and it expects God to show up. And then here's number 10. It exposes the enemy's tactics. It exposes the enemy's tactics. You know, one of the greatest tactics that the enemy has against us is fear. And the enemy causes us and wants us to be self-centered and self-seeking and self-serving. But when you're praising God, you're turning your focus totally off of yourself. And you're moving beyond the element of fear into that expression of faith that I mentioned one or two points ago. And it exposes the enemy's tactics. All right, everybody get those 10 things? I'm talking about the results of praise. It exalts God. It exclaims honor. Expresses gratefulness. Excites our spirit. Executes the power of God on our behalf. Exchanges problems for provision. Excludes the negative influences. It exercises faith. It expects God's presence, and it exposes the enemy's tactics. Aren't those good? Results of praise. That's the first exhortation. We're in Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Well, in a few moments, you're going to have an opportunity to follow this exhortation and to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're going to have an interlude right now, and I'm going to ask Nancy to come back, and she's just going to help us as we once again sing praise to the Lord. Now, while she's doing that, we have several of our people who are getting ready to share with us points of praise and gratefulness to the Lord. So I'm going to ask them to come on up and to get ready to share and to speak to you in an unusual way this morning. And so in just a few moments, you'll want to give your attention right up here as they share from their heart. But first of all, we're going to sing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Say thanks to those who just gave those testimonies, all right? Kay and I haven't been around here very long, and so just getting acquainted with you, but I tell you what a moving, moving thing. And I learned a long time ago, it's hard to be optimistic when you got a misty optic. And so, but thank you so much for sharing those testimonies. All right, let me give you this second thing, and that is this. It's an activity of proclaiming. Not only do we have that it's an attitude of praise, but it's an activity proclaiming. And that's verse 2. We're in Psalm 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let me give you these four subpoints, and then I'm going to ask you to do what they did, only you don't have cardboard, okay? I'm going to ask you to speak up, to let the redeemed of the Lord say so, to give praise to the Lord and to proclaim His goodness. All right, A, B, C, and D. First of all, the reason we have this activity of proclaiming, He is good. And that's what the psalmist says there in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. He is. And so that's one of the reasons we would have this activity of proclaiming. He is good. Verse 1, He is merciful. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from, I'm sorry, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. That's verse 1. So He is good. He is merciful. Letter C, He is redemptive. That's verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And isn't that what God's done for us? He's redeemed us. And then in verse 3, He is all inclusive. He is all inclusive. Verse 3 says, and He's gathered them out of the lands from the east, west, north, and south. God knows who you are and God knows where you are, my friend. And He's working to bring about His grace on your behalf. Why? Because He is good, He is merciful, He is redemptive, and He's included you. He has included you in His redemptive mercy and grace. All right, now I'm going to stop and let you give praise to the Lord today and to let the redeemed say so. It might have to do with your personal relationship with Him. It might have to do with a statement like they made moments ago, because of the journey that they have been on. Well, we all have journeys. We're all on a journey. And God knows who you are. God knows where you are. God knows your situation. God knows your circumstances. And God is able. God is able, no matter what your circumstance, no matter what your situation might be. It might have something that you just want to thank Him for, that attitude of gratitude. It might have something to do with your church. It might have something to do with some bereavement or some physical thing or some family situation or having to do with salvation or cancer or healing or some miracle that God's worked in your life. So I just like for the redeemed to say so this morning. That's the exhortation that we have, and let's keep in mind that others will want to share, so do it very briefly. I appreciated the fact that those that came before us this morning, wow, they gave a phenomenal declaration of the goodness of God in such a brief way today, but very potent. And so you just stand right where you are. Speak loudly so that we can all hear, and you give praise and an attitude of gratitude to the Lord today, okay? And I'm telling you, we all have a story. Let me encourage you. Slow down. I'd love to get with people, and I usually say this to them. Tell me your story. Start with, I was born at an early age, and then you pick it up from there. Because I love to hear those stories. Thanks for sharing that. Thank you. Thank you for being open today. And those of you that spoke up in a different way today, and those of you that stood up and spoke up, thank you. Thank you for being who you are and being where you are today. We've got two exhortations that have been given to us today from the psalmist. let's respond to those exhortations. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, and let the redeemed say so. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you. Thank you that we're a part of the redeemed. Thank you that we're with brothers and sisters today. Thank you that we're with family. Thank you that we're in your presence and you're in our presence. Thank you, Father, for the journey that each of us is on. And thank you, Father, for the blessing of knowing that we're not on this journey by ourselves. You are with us. And we look around and we find that others are with us also. What a blessing. Thank you, Father, for the redeemed that hang out here at First Baptist Mountain Grove. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be the ambassador for Christ that we need to be. And help us not to be ashamed, but to have that attitude of praise and to engage in that activity of proclaiming the goodness of our God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, we're going to have an invitation. If you don't know the Lord, if you're not walking with the Lord as your Savior, if you don't have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then you just slip out of the nearest aisle and come forward. We'll not embarrass you. But today, before you leave this building, we'll show you scripturally who Jesus is and what he did for you. And you can have a faith response, a faith reaction, and you can come to know Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior today. Maybe you're living locally and you don't have a church home. You need one. There are biblical reasons you need one. So this is a great church. I don't know how you can sit through the last 45 minutes and not say, you know what? Oh, wow. This is a great church. It is. And so maybe God's saying to you, this is the place and now's the time for you to attach yourself to this church. Maybe you haven't followed Jesus in believer's baptism since you've been saved. That's one of the great ways you can let the redeemed say so. So we'll counsel with you about that as well. Or you just may want to come and kneel in an altar prayer and just follow through with what we've been doing the last several minutes and just say, God, I just want to kneel before you and say thank you. I just want to express my attitude of gratitude today. Will you come on to the altar and do that? Let's stand together. You come.